Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, BA fam, Mandy here. Or Mandra. You can call me Mandra. That's fine. I have a simple request for you guys. We get so many questions on how you can support the show, and there's really a very, very simple thing that we need you guys to do. Open up this app, open up wherever you're listening to this podcast right now, and subscribe if you have the ability, especially those of you who are on iTunes. We're really making a push to get the show more visible. You've seen that we've partnered with a fabulous new network called Westwood One, but we also need the support of our listeners. So if you are a listener, a loyal listener, please subscribe. And if you haven't yet, take a few seconds and leave a 5-star review. And even a written review would be the icing on the cake, but at least subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review and continue to support the show. This is so, so crucial. It is basically how we tell the internet that our podcast is worth promoting and featuring and getting charted. And we deserve to be at the top of the charts, just like any other show out there. We can't do it without your support. So thank you very, very much. Subscribe, like, and review the show. And we thank you so much.
Wait.
I forgot how we always start. Hi. Wait, what do I
say? Somebody's tired.
Yo, I am really tired. I'm like, hey. We're back. We're black. We are brown. Ambition. Someone told me that she hit me up, like one of our listeners. I don't know if you remember when we had, well, of course, I'm sure you remember when we had our dinner, like, you know, like our 1-year anniversary.
Yes, we did. We got what did we do? We had maybe 10 Brown Ambition listeners meet us in New York.
Yeah, but that was so much fun. The food was delicious. Fun.
That food was delicious. Yeah, pio pio. Hey.
Yes. And so one of the young women who came, Zynga, she like hit me on social. She was like, girl, you are overworking yourself to the bone. I need you to take one step, two steps, three steps back. And so we ended up chatting on the phone. It was just everything. And so thanks. Shout out to you, Zynga. Thank you so much. I needed that. Like, she was like, I saw your last video, your last live. You look like a walking dead, basically. I was like, wow. I had to go back and look at it. I was like, wow. You know? And she's just like, you're doing too much. So, yeah, it was just like kind of like the shakeup that I needed. So I was like, one more thing. I can add more on. No biggie. But, yeah, so that's how you could tell I'm tired. Because I was like, wait, what do we open with? But let's get right into the sauce. I heard you had some tea.
Some tea, yeah. Well, I mean, we spilled the tea last week. And the response to last week's show, I think it was twofold. One, it was the Dave Ramsey read, the episode. Oh, I said his name. Yeah. Oh, no. He who must not be named, the read. I was just telling Tiffany, you know, we'd kind of steer away from the topic of DR. It's almost like that thing that we both know, you know, he's trash. Do we really need to say it out loud? We all know. But there's still so many of his fans. And I have friends who are involved with their churches who I didn't know were such Dave Ramsey fanatics. Mm-hmm. And there are still a lot of people following him who don't know about all of his foolishness. So we talked about last week the Fox News interview where he went on there and put his whole foot in his mouth talking about, although he would never say that. In fact, he's doubled down on the statement that he made.
Of course
he has, about how if you need a $600 or $1,400 stimulus check, then your life, you were basically screwed, quote unquote, before, you know, way before you ever needed the government's handout. And we talked about that last week. And since then, I think I had not seen this article. And Tiff, had you seen this article, the one that came out in January?
Somebody, you know, heard our podcast, and someone actually, they sent it to me via DM. It was like, girl, heard you and Mandra on Brown Ambition. You need to read this. And I was like, what? It was, go ahead, tell the people about this article.
I don't even know where to start. We're going to post a link. But if you wanted to send this to the loved one in your life to just help them see the error of their ways or help them see who he really is, this article is from a site called religiousnews.com. And not only is the article worth reading, but they actually published the Dave Ramsey PR team's full response to the article. And it was
I didn't see the part.
Oh, you got to click. There's a link in the article. His team's response will tell you everything you need to know about the Dave Ramsey Dave Ramsey Solutions company. It was mind-blowingly, it was sarcastic, it was rude, it was disrespectful, and it just reminded me so much of the Trump administration and how they responded to anything that was, you know, short of overt, just, you know, anything that wasn't a Fox News like love fest, they would respond with bullying and with derision and attack, you know, reporters. And the scathing response from his team was just, it was beyond the pale. It was insane. But the article itself, the reason they were so mad, it talks about, so Dave Ramsey, Dave Ramsey Solutions, his corporation consists of so much more than just his talk show. He's got, you know, Financial Peace University, which that's the financial education like course that he has gotten to be taught in all these churches across the country, mm-hmm. right? It's like a 9-week course or something. Mm-hmm. On top of that, he sells financial products. He has like, you know, he has this, a team of deputized Dave Ramseyers, and you know, they sell a lot more than just Dave Ramsey the talk show. They really like evangelize his followers, and to actually work in Dave Ramsey, as article says, according to the article, Oof. They have to interview your spouse because your spouse has to be of Christian faith, and not just like Christian faith. They actually have a moral code of ethics like at the company. And if they find you stepping a toe out of line, they can just fire you, apparently.
And they have.
They have, yes. So one woman, the story that got me the most was the one woman who she asked for maternity leave benefits under the federal, the FMLA, the Federal Medical Leave Act. She asked for her maternity benefits and they said, no, you are not married. And by the way, you're fired because you had premarital sex. They fired. Like, that's the thing that they can do somehow. They fired mm-hmm. her. They fired someone else because his wife posted in a Facebook group that she was concerned because his company, Dave Ramsey, was asking hundreds of employees to get back to work very soon after the pandemic broke mm-hmm. out. He was right there alongside Trump talking about how it was just going to be a blip. Don't worry. Nothing to be concerned about. If you don't come to work, then you're a wuss. You know, like
literally saying those words.
Literally. And what was the thing about the gun? What was he waving a gun around for?
Yes, it was. So some people created, because they're like afraid of him. Some people created secret Twitter accounts to like complain. And he was like offering like people like rewards if you would out whoever had these Twitter accounts complaining about. And then he's like, I hate gossips. And I guess at one of their like, you know, all team meetings and whipped out a gun to illustrate how much he hates gossips. I'm like, yo, here's the thing. I don't know. Why do y'all let people talk to you crazy? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I don't know. I mean, I guess we've all been there. Lord knows I've been there. But like, this is supposed to be a place of service and kindness, I would think, but to have people talk to you crazy. I'm not talking about like these people who work there, because I know obviously some people are like, I need to feed my family. But I'm saying with taking advice from someone who talks to you crazy when there are other places that you can take advice from. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I just...
Why choose him?
Yes. Why choose him? Because here's the thing. I'm not saying all of his advice is not the worst, but there is some advice that's so bad. Like, one of his advice is that not to contribute to retirement, Mandy, unless you paid off all your debt. What in the terrible losing out on
including your mortgage
interest?
Like, he's very hell-bent on you not having a mortgage. Yes.
I just, and you know what? It would be sad it would be funny if it wasn't sad, because there was a woman in my comments who was going, I posted this thing that debt-free doesn't equal wealth, and that debt-free shouldn't be your focus. It should be to grow wealth, and then wealth will help with your debt freedom. Mm-hmm. And she was like in my comments, like, oh, you're wrong. I follow Dave Ramsey method, and I finally paid off my house, and now I can start setting aside for retirement. And I was like, well, you miss out, you know, if you don't do that. She's like, well, you know, at she was like 47, 50 years old. My heart sunk for her. I said, wait a minute. You haven't set aside for retirement yet? Mm. And she's like, well, it took me a long time to pay off my house. I was like, honestly, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but you've lost out on like 30 years of compounding interest toward taking care of your older self. You've got 15 more years to put aside everything you've got toward retirement. What kind of life is that? Mm.
It was fine for him to file bankruptcy, though, and to step away from his debts, to use our legal system in his own favor, as so many Americans do. He uses shame. It's all about shame, and it's an abusive, it's very toxic and abusive to create the sense that you're doing it wrong, you need to do it this way. When he himself, as you pointed out last week, that, you know, did the same thing. He's a huge, huge hypocrite. But the thing is, it's the religious element for me. I mean, that is his audience, right? I mean, he sees himself as this like financial messiah in a way.
Yeah.
And I think people who are prone to follow any, you know, to follow a religion in general, like you have to put your faith into something that, and I personally am not incredibly religious. I'm from the South. I have my feelings about religion, but in general, any religion across the board, you have to put your faith in a higher power, and you have to accept certain beliefs and accept certain stories in order to, like, you have to accept a level of truth about the religion that you're entering in. They all tell a story. You accept that version of the story. You say, I am this religion. And I think that type of, you know, profile is a little bit, they're more willing to, you know, put their faith in, like you said, the one person. And can you talk about Tiffany? Because I sat in on one of your many lives that we, you know, one of your bajillion lives that you do on Insta, because you're not busy enough. And I think you reminded me of one of the things that you always say is you're not a fan of gurus.
Yes.
You know, like Dave. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I'm not a fan of financial gurus or gurus in general. And now, from what I understand, I'm not sure if guru is a Hindi word, but what it's supposed to mean, from my understanding, is it's supposed to mean teacher, not messiah. But we in the Western world tend to use guru as like, you are the messiah, you are the go-to for all things. Here's why I don't like, because one person cannot possibly know all aspects of a particular topic. So, like, for example, right? So if you think personal finance, you think insurance, estate planning, investing, budgeting, savings, credit. So if you think of all of those things, having someone be an expert in all 10 components of something that I call financial wholeness, my obligatory push for my book, Get Good With Money, available at getgoodwithmoney.com. So, but all, you can't possibly be the super pro in all those things. I actually encourage people, don't come to me for everything. You know, get some of this from me, get some of this from Nativa, get some of this from Sandy, some of this from Ash Cash, some of this from Earn Your Leisure, some of this from Kevin, some of this from Tila and Courtney. And I encourage that, because then when something is incongruent, when you're like, huh, I heard Tiffany say this, but I feel like Kevin said this, then you can make decisions that are in alignment with you and your goals. You are able to think more critically. I don't want anyone to follow me blindly. You should be questioning me and everyone that you're listening to, because you're supposed to be practicing discernment, especially financial discernment. So that's why I always say, I'm not your financial guru, I'm your financial girlfriend. Because when you have a guru, they, like, for example, DR might be really good at teaching you how to budget and save. That's great. But he's the same person that's also told you now, until you pay off your mortgage, don't set aside for your older self. So when you're eating cat food and he's living high off the hog, because that man's business is worth well over $400 million, right? So he's not going to come save you.
By the way, if you need his saving, then you got something wrong with you, right?
Exactly. So it just goes to show that, like, because one thing I don't like is that if you ever join one of those groups, the DR groups, if you even say, you know, I think I, if you just like dissent in any way, they attack you. What level of Christianity is that? Well, you can't say, you know, I'm feeling something different. It just is baffling to me, but honestly, I try not to understand it because I'm just like, whatever. I'm not here to save everyone. I'm here to help those who, you know, would like to try something different and to expose you to other people that have varying levels of expertise in different topics. That's why I partner so much. But yeah, I don't believe in financial gurus. I believe that you should be looking for a myriad of teachers. If one person had all the answers, then you would go to college and never switch classes. Right? Like, and you would just have this one professor also teaches psychology, oh, and statistics, oh, and human, you know, human anatomy, oh, and your English class. Like, that's just not how that works because, you know, the human brain is only capable of so much. And so, like, I just think that I want you to democratize how you get financial education so you can develop discernment, because one person cannot possibly have all the answers. And if someone shames you and tries to instill fear and blame because you are asking questions, you know, because you don't follow blindly, you know, that should be a huge red flag that a human being wants you to follow them blindly, yep. You know, like, this is not your parent, you know, and even then, ideally, parents should not be looking for their children to follow them blindly. But a random person, that's control. If you read that article, please, the link is in our description of this podcast. Read that article. You are going to be horrified. I actually gave him too much credit. I was like, oh my gosh.
I did too. Yeah. I honestly did. I had respect. You know, there definitely was respect, and then respect of a journalist, because that's my background. I'm always like, okay, listen, like, that's his point of view. You know, I'm going to have different voices in my articles and talk to other people. And I just kind of put him aside. But he truly has infiltrated so deeply. Anyone who's ever got educated about personal finance will see a Dave Ramsey course or an article or hear him online or hear him on a podcast. He's just so ubiquitous, you know? So yeah. Even if they have to, and the thing is, he is in the way of voices like ours. And that's why, I mean, can we do a little happy dance for Earn Your Leisure right now? Have y'all?
Yes.
I feel like I was late to the Earn Your Leisure party because, you know, I had a baby and I was in the fog for so damn long. And they've only been around for 2 years, but these are two amazing men, Troy Millings, Rashad Bilal. And by the way, they're from Greenberg, which is where I live.
Sidebar, they asked to come on the podcast. I meant to ask you that,
what,
girl. So
just,
yes.
What the heck? Why are you? All right. Anyway.
So hopefully there'll be guests soon. But yeah, it just happened.
But yeah, let me say what I was going to say. Okay.
Sorry.
They slayed the Dave Dragon, y'all. They kicked him out of the top spot on iTunes. Oh, my. Like, he was stuck there. Like, that piece of tape or glue from, like, the poster you put up in your childhood bedroom that you can never get off the wall. That's where Dave's spot at number one on business podcast was. They took him down.
Yes.
So satisfying to me.
Yes, but hopefully you'll be hearing quick. So if you don't know, Earn Your Leisure is an awesome podcast by two Black men. And what I love is that they showcase other Black and brown folks that you might not ever have heard of prior to them being on their podcast. And it's just, they have become a force in the financial space. And I love that they're also signing on, like, they have their own network and they're signing on people to their network. Like, my friend Ash Cash is on their network. And as a result, Ash is like number he's been on Brown Ambition. That's right. Mm-hmm. So
you don't remember. It's okay.
Girl, I talked to Ash, like, you know, that's like my brother from another mother. So I'm how many times have we have just chit-chatted? So I'm like, was he on Brown Ambition when we chit-chatted? But and I'm just so impressed with what the guys are doing. And I'm just really glad that there are so many alternatives that, and I love I don't know if you saw, like, obviously some of the comments that they were like, thank you so much for, like, that amazing list that we were just kind of spewing out. And another person. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's, like I said, it's important that you see that there are so many amazing financial educators and experts out there. You don't have to get yelled at to learn.
Yeah, I was Friday night, I decided to just treat myself to, like, some rest and relaxation. So I lit all the candles, did a nice little bubble bath, got my little Target brand Epsom salt bombs, and, you know, was just relaxing. And I saw that they were live on Instagram. And that was the most fun I've had watching an IG live. They are to see. They are so fun to watch, but it's also like their energy is infectious. And who do they have on? One of the people on their network who does a show called Social Proof. Was his name Sean? I forget. He was on, and you don't see, and I don't take for granted, but like you don't see three black men celebrating like that. I mean, every day, you know, and the fact that they are presenting this image that we are black men, we are supporting each other, we are building, we are growing. And one of my favorite things that they said was the importance of asking for help and how often in black and brown communities, you feel like you have to do it all on your own because, I mean, you do have to do it all on your own in the beginning often because people may not have the knowledge that's easily accessible to you, or you don't have the resources because of all the reasons that are out of your control. But he and the two co-hosts, Rashad and Troy, you know, they really talk about how with their network, they lean into other podcasters and there is space for everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. And that, and when they went, we went. I mean, I don't even know them personally, but I feel like I know them. I feel like my cousins have hit the top spot on iTunes. They made me want Brown Ambition up there. I'm like, why aren't we on the top? I never really think about chart rankings, but I'm like, dang, people. Yeah. So listen, I learned from them that night. We've always talked about leaving comments and reviews. If you guys want to help Brown Ambition, and we have thousands of listeners every week, thousands and thousands, we only have like 1,300 comments and reviews on our podcast. We could really use you guys. You know, we do the show for free for you. We could really use y'all to go to iTunes and not just like and review our show, but subscribe. Like apparently subscribing on iTunes is the magical fairy dust. That is what drives the rankings. And I know a lot of people, they don't necessarily subscribe, but
they just listen.
They just listen. And you've got to just click that subscribe button and listen. If it's telling you that you don't have enough data, you know, just delete some photos. You don't need them. Just, you know, just use your cloud storage, Spiffy. They have all kinds of things to free up space now. Help us out. Like, we've been in this game for so long. And if that's what we've been missing all along, is just reminding y'all to subscribe, like, please do it. And then you'll get a reminder every Wednesday when the show is on, which is only, you know, we're not going to spam you. It just means you'll get the show first and you'll find out about it first. And so shout out to Earn Your Leisure for sure, because that was
huge. Yes, it was. It, especially after all that we've gone through, I was like, hey. Yeah.
Okay, so we need to talk offline, because if they want to be on the show, I need to arrange that. Post haste. What else?
What else is happening in the world? Oh, I saw that they decided to decline. We won't be getting $50,000. It looks like it'll be the $10,000 forgiveness for student loan debt. I was like, boo.
Yeah, so Joe Biden, he had that CNN town hall. Was it the day our show went live? Anyway, we had already recorded, but I was disappointed. My husband's kind of like a conservative progressive. I don't know, moderate progressive, I guess you would say. And he's on Joe's side. It's an interesting, you know, we were kind of arguing back and forth, but yeah, Joe is like $50,000. Not going to make that happen. Nah, maybe 10, maybe 10. And I wonder what kind of strings do we know yet? Like how you're supposed to, like, I know they have to put a bill through, but do you need to have a sense of what you'll need to like do or have in order to be eligible for that forgiveness?
No, not yet. But at least, you know what? That's better than like nothing. I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of money to not have to pay. So no, I haven't dug into the deets yet. I just remember just reading very quickly that it wasn't going to be the 50, but it looks like it is going to be the 10. So I'm like, okay, that's good.
That's good. I mean, and it's also a step in the right direction. You know, maybe there'll be, as long as we continue to vote, you guys, these are the people in power who are making these decisions. You've got to vote and, you know, put people in power who are more progressive. It's a step in the right direction. And it's a big leap from where we were at the beginning of the last recession, when the student loan debt crisis really became huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, my baby cousin found out that she had some student loans she didn't know about.
Really? How?
Well, she lives with me now, and we have Financial Fridays, and we sit down.
Oh, that's cute.
She's my little, she's my project. I feel like Cher in Clueless, and she's my, what was Brittany Murphy? God rest her soul. What was her name in that? Ty.
Oh,
Ty.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, she's my project, but she's 23. I'm putting all of her business out here. I'll try to dial it back and not put it all out there. But so she's been staying here and helping with the baby, and she had taken a break from school, and she's just trying to, like, you know, she's 23. She's trying to figure out, you know, do I want to do what I've set out to do? She's in that existential young 20s kind of space. Also, there's a pandemic and she needed a place. I needed help. So it all worked out. But I have found through talking to her that, and this is like a really, it's just opened me up to like even bigger conversations around what can happen in a dynamic of a family when you actually have a lot of help from your parent. And I don't mean financial help. I mean, help doing things, like as in a parent does everything for you, you know, fills out the forms for college, fills out your FAFSA for you. Like, she really has not had to do any of that herself. And therefore, she knew nothing about how it all worked. And on top of that, you know, when you have a parent who's paid for your car, paid for your rent, even though she worked, you know, I always checked in with Anna, she's always working. She wasn't doing those things like checking her credit, you know, or getting a credit check for an apartment, or you know, dealing with going to an auto dealer and negotiating a car price. Like, she wasn't involved in those situations. And I'm starting to understand, like, the real detriment when you have parents who are way too involved. Like, the bumpers are always on, you know? Is that what they call it? The guardrails are always on, yes.
Because you do have to let, you know, you have to let kids learn, and you learn through falling and failing, and that's okay. Honestly, the younger, the better. Like, I rather have, you know, you be 22 with a terrible credit score and learn the lesson then 42 when you lose your job because your credit score is terrible. And you're like, wait, what?
Yep.
So, yeah, no, I love that you guys have Financial Fridays and talk about it, because that's super important. That's something that's going to change the trajectory of her life, you know, keeping on track with that.
And no shade to my uncle, because I think it's the best intentions. You love your child. And as a, like, he's my dad's brother, and they did not come from money, let me tell you. They did not come from money. And my grandfather was not in the picture. My grandmother died way younger than she should have, like so many young Black women in this country, sadly. So, you know, I could see from his perspective, and I'm so empathetic, because for him, it's about, I'm going to help her succeed. I'm going to be there for her. I'm going to help her, set her on the right path, you know, have the things that I didn't have. But it's almost like an overcorrection in a way. And I'm, as a mom, I am just absorbing all of this. And I'm like, okay, let's, especially because of the space we're in, it's going to be really hard to watch my kid, to watch Rio grow up and maybe make some bad choices. But I'm really seeing what can happen on the other side. So yes. Yeah, so Anna, we sat down and we ran her credit, we went to Discover Scorecard. I love that site. It's free. Mm-hmm. It's a free way to get your FICO. And yeah, looking at her credit report, she's like, oh damn, I have a couple student loans that my dad took out for my tuition, but I didn't know that he took them out. And he wasn't doing it. It was not nefarious, but she didn't know, you know, and maybe you should, like, everyone should know, you know, about their financial picture and that little bit of knowledge. I'm starting to see her get more empowered. And so that's what's been on my mind lately. Like, how can I, my therapist is like, Mandy, you better back off. Like, you don't need to be that much involved unless she really wants you to. I'm trying to, like, toe that line, you know, like you said, your financial girlfriend, your financial friend. You know, we're cousins, we're very close, but I'm not trying to do it. I don't want to make the same mistake. I don't want to try to do everything for her, but I am trying to, like, just empower her with some basic knowledge, you know?
No, and that's good, because she's still really young. Honestly, this is such a formative time. So I don't think there's anything wrong with like leaning in, as long as you're respecting her boundaries and, you know, so, which sounds like she's like, oh, wow, thanks. So as long as that's the sentiment.
Girl, you know, I respect the boundary.
I was scrolling through. This is like random mess. Not mess, but what do you think about this, Manny? So I was just scrolling through Instagram, and I always see this, like, you could pick my brain once the invoice is paid.
I just saw, like, that too. We must.
Yes. I'm like, what do you think about that? Like, what? Yeah. What you do you think? Like, when, because, so just so you guys don't know what I'm talking about, especially if you're, there's like a movement, I guess, if you will, where people are like, you stop asking people to pick their brain. It's disrespectful. It's entitled. It's rude that, you know, people have spent a lot of time and energy on, like, whatever their craft or whatever it is. And you shouldn't ask anyone for free information, basically. And I see it a lot that, you know, And so I have like mixed feelings about how I feel about that sentiment. So I just wanted, because when I saw that, I was like, let me see, what does Mandy think about like when people, quote unquote, want to pick your brain? Do you feel like you're like, get out of here? Like, I'm not telling you nothing.
I'm not going to lie. Maybe at a certain age, at a step in my career, I might have been, but that would have been purely born out of insecurity and also fear. And also, you know, it's, if we're really serious about creating more inclusion at all levels, you know, generational wealth, building generational wealth in Black and Brown households, giving people access to power and knowledge. And for me, I'm really passionate about, you know, talking to people about their career and how to navigate their careers and you know, move through the quote unquote corporate world or whatever. If we're really serious about that, we have to acknowledge that the way that it's been done, which it has been very closed off to us in terms of knowledge, how do things get done? How do you become, you know, an executive or get to a board seat? How, you know, how does this happen? That information has been held back from us. Once, I almost feel like once you gain knowledge, to, in order to really break the system, we need to stop playing by their games once we get there. So my whole thing is, once I get in a room and I gain knowledge, I wish people would ask me, like, what do you know? Because I would be willing to share it. And I think, you know, why I said fear and insecurity might have held me back in the past is when you're the only one, you might be a little scared. It's like it's this, and they want you to feel this way too. I think they being like, you know, the system, it's better for them if we're not talking and sharing information, right? That's why they didn't teach slaves how to read. Access to knowledge is the key to equality. And yet I feel personally that in my space, if you ever want to pick my brain, it's pickable. I respond to all of our DMs for a reason. I want people to know that we're accessible and that we can answer questions and we take questions on this show. We do Brown Ambition. Like, of course we love sharing what we know. But I think that sentiment, I don't agree with it. I think if you get to a certain level, it's your duty, it's your responsibility, especially if you're a person of color. It's an additional little piece of pressure that I think we carry to turn around and try to help someone else.
I agree. Now, here's the thing. I do think that the reason why maybe this has come up is because there are some people who kind of do take advantage. Like, you know, you help them once and they keep coming back and back. And I've definitely had that where, you know, someone will reach out to me and I'm like, oh, sure. And then this is the second call and the third call. I remember, actually, was it last year? It was really kind of crazy. So someone did a joint intro, which I feel like making an introduction to someone for you to help them without giving some the other person a heads up, I don't like, right? Mm-hmm. That's like me being like, oh, hey, Mandy, this is my friend, Tyra. Tyra needs some things. So you guys connect, okay? And meanwhile, I have your number. Why not say, hey, Mandy, is that okay? Mm-hmm. It's like when you were a kid and you used to bring your friend to the car. It'd be like, can you drive Mandy home? Like, my mother would look at me like, if you don't step away from my car.
Yeah.
Because now she has to say no in front of the kid.
I really felt that analogy.
Yeah. Right? It's like all awkward. Right? Give the person the chance to pre-qualify. So anyway, that happened to me last year. Someone did this connection with this, with, you know, a woman. And I was like, okay, awkward, but hey, no problem. So I ended up getting on the phone with the woman and, you know, I poured into her for like an hour and a half and this is what I do and this and this and that. And then she like wrote back to get back on my calendar again for like the next week and the next week. And I was like, whoa. I'm not available for like, what? I can't do a weekly 2-hour call. And she, was upset by it and expressed it. It was like basically upset that I wouldn't give her any additional time. Like if it had been like, say like a few months from now, sure. But she thought that I was just going to be there for her every week. I just met her through this other person. And then she also had made the assumption that we were going to do business together. She was like, oh, I can't wait to do this project with you. I'm like, I never agreed to that. So it was really awkward. I actually had to write the other person because she got nasty. So I had to write the other person and say, hey, so that person you introduced me to, this is what happened. And just moving forward, if you do ever want to connect me with someone, please ask before giving out my personal information because it really turned nasty. And she was, I think we actually ended up jumping on the phone and she was so embarrassed. Like, I'm so sorry, girl. I didn't know. It was like, she was like, what? I just thought you guys would have a conversation. I didn't know it was gonna like turn into this. So I think that type of sentiment is born from those types of interactions. And as a result, people have a blanket, I ain't helping nobody.
Well, she made it a lot harder for people who have good, who would have more respect for boundaries.
Exactly. Yeah. So I honestly believe in, because so many people have poured into me, so many. So I believe in like pouring into folks, especially women, especially Black women. Mm-hmm. But I don't always have the capacity or time, you know, to jump on a call. Like if I do, then I make it. And if I don't, then I'm honest. And I'm like, you know, today's it's a really crazy week. I don't know. But yeah, I whenever I see that, it just seems so off-putting because I always think to myself, whenever I see those posts, like, you know, you can't pick my brain till you pay my invoice. I'm like, I'm sure that there was a brain that you picked that you an invoice was not paid. Like, you know, that I believe that when you're blessed, it's blessings are supposed to flow not just to you, but through you. And in not doing so, you actually miss out because there are people who I've poured into who ended up just like giving me life like a year, 2 years, 5 years later. Mm-hmm. You know, so many of my biggest opportunities were like, yeah, girl, you don't remember me from 3 years ago. You helped me out. And so now that I'm at own network, they were looking for someone. I told them you. That was literally a conversation I had like a few weeks ago. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? So, and that's not the reason to do it, you know, but I will just say that you reap, my mother would always say that you reap what you sow. You don't always reap where you sow. So just keeping in mind that I get it, that There are definitely people who walk around with a sense of entitlement, but that shouldn't keep you from pouring into folks who, you know, you really think is gonna do something really good with the information that you give them. Because at some point you're gonna need help as well. And yeah. so you have to give and take. Exactly.
Just be nice. And a really good final example is Sharon Epperson from CNBC. So she was one of the only Black women, other than like Michelle Singletary at the Wall Street Journal, Black women with a big platform in financial news. And when I was a reporter years ago at Yahoo Finance and Business Insider, I always looked up to Sharon. I was always following her and trying to see what she was writing about. And, you know, and I went to the same event as her. And I was a reporter, so several years ago, I went to the same event. I think it was at the United Nations. And I saw Sharon and she had an assistant. She was like badass and everything. And I went up to her and introduced myself. And she very, you know, politely, but basically brushed me off. Like, I don't have time to really talk to you, but definitely send me an email and we can catch up. I think I was talking, I don't know, just telling her about me and that I'd love to chat with her sometime. And I did email her and I asked her to be on the podcast and didn't hear back. Maybe I got like one email, but didn't get any follow up. And, you know, I just let it go because she's a busy woman. I didn't think anything of it. And a year later, I remembered. I was like, let me follow up with Sharon and see what's going on with her now and just reintroduce myself. Turns out Sharon had a brain aneurysm and was in the hospital for several months. And we ended up having a great conversation. We had her on the podcast. And now she is a great friend and mentor of mine. And that was an example of just because you don't immediately get to sit down with someone, it doesn't mean that it's because they don't think that you're worth their time. I mean, everyone is just a person, like at the end of the day, you know?
You don't know. That's the thing, too, is that if you, for whatever reason, do reach out to someone and they don't say yes or whatever, you don't know why. You know, like sometimes people are going through a lot. I mean, people, you know, like
that has nothing to do with you.
Exactly. Like there was a woman who hit me the other day. She was she wanted me to speak at some conference, but it was in person. And I was like, during COVID. but I couldn't do it anyway because it's literally like the day before my book launch. And so my admin wrote her a really nice email. It's like, thank you so much. Thank you so much for thinking of Tiffany. Unfortunately, she's not able to participate, but wishes you the best. It was a really nice, you know, we have like a form email, but it's always really nice. Like, cause I'm always grateful when people reach out. So we reached out to say, hey, there may be some sort of opening. And this lady wrote back, I'm good. Because of your short email, maybe one day when I get famous, that's when Tiffany will want to participate. I was like, I had to literally go back to the email. I thought, oh my goodness, what did we say? Because maybe it was like, nah, girl. You know what I mean? Like, because I have a new executive admin. I thought maybe there was a misstep. And I went back to read the email. I had to read the email like three times, like in the chain. Like, this email? This email was short. It was like four sentences of gushing with thank you and we wish you the best on your event. It looks really great. She wasn't mad about the email. She was mad because I didn't do what she wanted when she wanted me to do it. And so that kind of reaction just, and I can understand the disappointment, but you're an adult. Like Roman, when I tell him no cookies, I know why he throws a temper tantrum. He's five. But throwing a temper tantrum when you're an adult, when someone doesn't give you agency over their time and energy and or money or whatever, you know, it's just, it's not appropriate. And what you do is that you guarantee that they will never work with you, you know? And she made, oh, this is something else that she said that I thought was super petty. I told all my family and friends how you get down. I was like, ma'am! Okay. All of that, I was
you're
just
done,
like,
Tiffany.
So.
There you go.
I know. And I just thought to myself, you know, it's such a shame, you know, because like I said, if you mad, just say you mad. Meaning, like, I just knew she was disappointed. There was nothing left to say. I just said, I just told my admin, you know, just leave it alone. But you don't want that to be no one has to say yes to you. Mm-hmm. So if you're reaching out to someone and you're like, I just need, if I could just get a foot in the door, if I could just, you know, get you, because I could just need a little bit of help. People sometimes are busy or in experiencing trauma or swamped or just didn't see it. And so, and that's okay. Or sometimes they just don't want to do it. And that's okay. You know, so just being mindful of that, then you should always reach out and ask if you're needing a thing, but know that no one's yes is promised to you. And that's okay. But you will get a yes from somebody and it'll be the right somebody at the right time.
Couldn't have said it better myself. All right. Do you remember you have a hard stop? We got to go.
I know.
Let's take a quick break and we'll get to your questions next. All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access, wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply. All right, we are back. I think we have time for one question, maybe two for Speedy, but I definitely wanted to get to this. I actually don't know if we ever answered this question, but I was digging through the archives and I found this one from a little bit of a while ago, but quick. Hey, ladies, thank you for a bountiful podcast filled with precious jewels. Here's my question. What would be the best way to tackle debt if my husband and I have $40,000 worth of debt in credit cards, student loans, and personal loans? Should we consolidate or use the snowball method? We're both students, have full-time jobs, a mortgage, but we struggle to save money trying to pay off our debt. Your advice is much appreciated. Please keep me anonymous. All right.
What was the list? It was credit card debt.
They have $40,000 worth of credit card debt, student loans, and personal loans. So a combination of all of that. Good times. Plus a mortgage. But yeah.
I probably would focus on the credit card debt first. Because I'm assuming that's probably like the debt. I don't know like what, because student loans tend to be like higher balances. I like to do a mix of like the snowball method, which is pay the lower balances off first, and the avalanche, which is pay the higher interest rate off first. But I probably would start with the credit card debt. If I was really struggling to save or whatever, and this is what I did. I'm not saying like, because I know people are like, no, don't go into forbearance or deferment. Girl, if they are federal loans. I was a deferment queen until I can get some space. I was like, I'm going to pay off this credit card debt. I'm going to defer my student loans until I have some space. I don't know what you mean by personal loans. Is this like to your mama and cousins and them? Because they come third then. They can wait unless like they need to eat. But I would focus on credit card debt first. If you're not able to save at all, and if it's federal student loans, I would consider doing that. And I would consider deferring or forbearancing my federal student loans. If you don't have, I would consider, like, there's like companies like SoFi that allow you to basically refinance your student loans at a lower interest rate if your credit score is decent. I would consider doing that as well. And for the credit card debt, if your interest rate is decent, I would consider looking at balance transfer cards or balance transfer card to at least, that's when you can transfer the balance of your credit card debt to another card with a 0% interest rate. So all your money goes to the principal and you can pay that debt off faster. So every $100, all 100 goes to the principal. So, cause that's how I got out of $35,000 worth of credit card debt while on unemployment in like 3 years. I did balance transfer cards. I put my student loan debt in forbearance. Everybody else had to wait. And I got rid of those credit cards first to give myself some space.
Yeah, beautiful. I just actually spent a lot of time today talking about relationships and money and kind of like, how do you do that together? And I will share a recent survey that we did at Ally found that couples who merge their finances actually have a better shot, and they say they do, at reaching their financial goals. And so I think if you guys attack it as a team, all that debt, you can definitely manage it. And it sounds like you're already on the right track. So I definitely give you major kudos for that. Because honestly, like telling your partner about your debt or about your finances, it really does feel like it's almost more awkward than like your first kiss or, you know, sleeping together even. It's like, oh, my debt. Yeah. I'm like, you worry about that. I feel like even more. So it's great that y'all are even having the dialogue.
Yeah, it is great that you're having the dialogue. So, and then, yeah, you're working together and it sounds like you're young if you're both still in school. So just know this is kind of like part of like life currently, but it won't always be like that. Just the key is being mindful not to dig back in that hole. Like, let's put the shovel down, get our way out, fill up this hole so we can move forward on a strong financial foundation.
Yep. And I try to identify the reasons why, you know, you got there in the first place. I'm kind of hoping that the majority of that is student loan debt because, girl, like, mm-hmm. who doesn't, you know?
Yes.
And the good thing is that your student loans aren't, you don't have to make payments on them until next September at this point. We'll see if they extend the, what's it called, deferment, or I forget what the term that the government is using. But yeah, they've stopped interest accruing on student loans and you don't have to make payments for a while. So a little bit of reprieve there, and then you can maybe use your funds for those other goals. Okay, I'm going to squeeze one more quick question in there because this is a good one and we haven't talked about this yet. This question came from, oh, what's her name? Oh, the KP Life. Oh, she's always so sweet and sending lots of DMs. So the KP Life says, Happy New Year. This is from January. Happy New Year.
I was like, oh.
Listen, we have a big mailbag, y'all. I'm working on the backlog, okay? Quick question. Have you looked into banking with Greenwood Bank yet? Curious for your take. We haven't talked about Greenwood yet, Tiffany.
Is that the one with Killer Mike?
Killer Mike. Yes, Greenwood. So just for some background, if y'all haven't heard of Greenwood, it's a Black and Latinx owned bank. That Killer Mike, he has this Bank Black, or is that the Bank Black movement? Yeah. So Killer Mike in Atlanta, shout out to ATL, he really hit the national scene this past summer when he came out in support of Black Lives Matter. And I mean, he's always been a huge activist and very vocal, but he got extra, extra shine. And then Jesse Williams, who I know because, yes, I still watch Grey's Anatomy and I will till the day I die if they continue releasing seasons of it. But he's a doctor on Grey's Anatomy. So he's actually financing this venture, or at least co-financing it. And yeah, it hasn't launched yet. So as far as my take on it, they haven't launched yet, but I love the idea. I love that if this is the beginning of a new Black bank renaissance, I am all for that. Because I do believe, you know, circulating wealth in our communities is hugely important. But I know right now there's like a wait list. So if you join, they don't actually have a product right now, but I love the concept of it.
No, me too, because I think Black banks, banking is one of the ways that they, you know, cut Black and brown folks out of the economic ability to grow and thrive. And so if you have more Black banks, they found that Black banks are more likely to loan to small Black businesses. They're more likely to fund projects that benefit Black and brown people. And so, yeah, I mean, a good Black bank that's actually going to be of service to the community is always a yay for me.
Absolutely. Especially if they're giving access to financing, because that is often, you know, just that startup capital, you know, access to loans. That is what really can stymie the growth of a lot of Black owned businesses. I'm gonna talk to Ally about that too, but okay. All right, let's take another. Well, actually, let's just go right into Brown Boost Brown Break.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it. What you gonna do, boost or break, Tiff?
I don't know.
Just carry that note until you think of something. Do you want me to go first?
Yes, please. Okay.
We should give you a pass because how many interviews have you had today?
Oh my God, this is like my fifth. And I think, oh no, Moss. And maybe that's probably what I'm gonna break. But go ahead. I think that's what my break.
You
is
still have
be.
A homework assignment. I need to know how you're celebrating your book, and now I need to know what kind of vacation are you treating yourself to after the book launches. Like April, I don't want to see your ass. Like we should just book some shows in advance. Guest host it up in April. You go take a vacay. Okay.
All right. But I'm scared to go anywhere.
Well, I mean, go to I don't know, somewhere local. Rhode Island. Go to the woods. There's pretty woods around here. Drive somewhere. I don't know. Hot tub. Whatever you like to do. Go to Cancun like Ted Cruz. You know, it's beautiful down there. Who else was surprised that the Four Seasons was only like $300 a night? I was like, dang, that's affordable. That's where they see the text message that was revealed by Heidi Cruz trying to get the other like soccer moms in their neighborhood to come with them.
No.
Yeah. They tried to say, oh, you know, I went there to be a good father. My kids wanted to go. And then don't trust the soccer mom. Someone in her text message group took a screenshot, sent it to the New York Times and was like, nah, she's lying because this is her trying to rally us all together and get us to go to Cancun to escape the cold and the lack of power and water. You know, that's. But I digress. My boost. I'm going to do a boost. I'm going to shout out Jay-Z because it came out today or yesterday. It came out recently that he has sold half of his champagne brand. The Jay-Z empire continues. Okay.
I saw that.
Amazing. So he has sold his champagne brand to LVMH, which is the same brand that owns Dom Perignon and Moët Chandon. And they've taken a 50% stake in his Jay-Z's brand, which is called Armand de Brignac, also known as Ace of Spades. So shout out to Jay continuing to drive his empire. And the reason I found out, because I get all my news from Tina Knowles, is she posted a tribute to her son-in-law on Insta, and I thought that was really sweet. And she shouted him out for all the work that he does because, you know, he got a lot of shit when he joined the NFL and became the head of their entertainment for the Super Bowl and all that. And she was basically saying he deserves all the shine, and he really is. I mean, he is defining what it is to age well, I think, in hip hop and in business. And he's always lifting up the community. And go get your coins, Jay.
Yes, go get your coins. No, I saw that today and I thought that was really awesome. I was like, wow, that's because, I mean, from how far that he's come till now, I mean, it just must be so surreal for him, you know?
Yep.
So here's what mine's going to be. All right, so there is a young woman. Her name is Demetria Lucas. Have you ever heard of A Belle in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, but yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, she's a writer, and she wrote her first book, A Belle in Brooklyn, did really well. She wrote a second book called Don't Waste Your Pretty. But what's really amazing is Demetria and I are the same age. She's just this dope sister who, through hard work and perseverance. So her book is being turned into a movie and it's going to be airing on TV One. And that's just like when, like, you know, because I've watched, like, I've been following her since she was a Belle in Brooklyn and seeing how she's grown. She used to work at Essence and then she was an editor at Essence. And then she's just had this amazing career. And so to see this book that she wrote, because I mean, I don't think any of my books, they're not like, you're not going to have a movie about budgeting. But I just think to see somebody who, like, I feel like I adjacent know, like, you know, like I don't talk to her on the phone, but, you know, we Instagram. just to see someone that like I adjacent know have a book turned into a movie that she got to be a part of. It's just one of those surreal things, like becoming a New York Times bestseller, which you can help me be if you get good with money at getgoodwithmoney.com. But yeah, so that is my boost. And my break, though, is just going to be, I just want to, again, thank you to Nzinga, because my break is to not overwork myself.
I love that.
Because it's been hard. Like, and it's, you know, people always like, well, Tiffany, yo, team. And I'm like, the issue really isn't my team. It's me. I've got this really awesome team. And oftentimes I don't give them the opportunity, because they'll take things off my plate and I'll take it right on back. And so, like, it's not that. It's something. That's why I have my coaches. That's why, you know, I'm really proactive I've been trying to be, you know, really proactive in doing better. But Nzinga really just, like, called me to the carpet, and she just, you know, it was just something that I really needed. And so, like, if you need that sign, like, am I doing too much? This is the sign you likely are, that it is possible to achieve your dreams without killing yourself. She said something too, like, you know, preserving your feminine energy. Like, you know, she said sometimes it's almost like when women used to wear the power suits, and not to say that women can't wear a power suit, but it's okay to achieve success in a way that still aligns with how you show up as a woman. You don't have to transform yourself into a man in order to be successful. And so it was just a reminder that I needed. They're like, girl, you make magic happen, girl. Like, women are capable, bring life into this world. We are capable of doing so much without breaking ourselves, you know? So it was just, like I said, that reminder that I needed. And it's a nice little, I guess that's kind of like a breaky boost, a boost for that word of reminder, but a break from team too much.
And I know I team too much. I know. Well, we had so much love and outpouring of, I'm sure you got lots of messages, Tiff, but so did I, at Brown Ambition on Instagram. And then even my personal account, people just wanting to pour out and pour into you and tell you how much they love you and support you. And also thank you for opening up last week, because I know that wasn't easy for you. But to your point about being a woman today, and I know I'm looking at the clock. I know we got 7 minutes. Okay.
No, we good. We good.
We good. I feel very much like, yes. And shout out to the women who really had to play by the man's playbook in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. I feel today my perspective going into a senior leadership role, the last place I was at, and now and continuing that path. My thing is, so you hired a working mom. Like, so I breastfed my child on my very first interview call with Ally. Okay, not on camera, but he was there. I had to, because I'm a working mom during a pandemic, right? And my whole thing is, and maybe the pandemic has given me that extra confidence, but if you're going to hire me and put me in a position of power, I'm going to be my whole self. And that means if you put a calendar invite out there for 4:30 to 5:30 meeting, I'm going to drop off at 5 p.m. because that is the half hour I have to spend with my baby before I do the podcast. Like, those, it's very, and I feel like I was always putting a lot of pressure on myself at my last job because I was managing team. I'm a woman in power, so I need to set an example for what that looks like. And that means you can talk about, you know, you can acknowledge those other complex parts of your personality. You know, you can be who you are, but you can also bring in the fact that you're a mother. Or this isn't just about moms. It's about the pressure on women to take care of elderly relatives or to be the primary caretaker if someone in the family is ill. You know, and during a pandemic year, working, like, moms have, I mean, women have been hit from all different directions, especially Black women, because you come from a base of, you know, you very little resources and support and infrastructure sent, you know, set up to support you. It's just, we've done a terrible job in this country. So yes, I think Tiffany and you running your team, like, first of all, letting people show up for you when you need help, that helps them grow. It makes them feel good. Yes. It doesn't make you any less of an amazing and fantastic leader and founder that you are. It doesn't at all. But I understand, like, you get addicted to the grind, and you also feel like, when I do it right. You know, and I want to put my stamp of approval on everything.
And, you know, it's not even that. Honestly, for me, I always feel like I don't want to bother people, which is so crazy. I'm like, because I'm like, oh, man, you know, Latrice just had the baby, and, you know, and she already got the two other little ones. Oh, man, I would ask Karen, but I know that she said that, you know, her son is doing X, Y, Z. And let me just literally, I think, because we I always ask the women to share, you know, like what's happening in their life. So I'm conscious of like sometimes being like, I don't want to put too much on. We take that very seriously, not overworking folks, making sure that this is a joyful place to work. And so as a result, I over-sacrifice. And sometimes like I might say that and Latrice is like, girl, she told me the other day, this baby don't cry. This baby's just like, whatever you down for, I'm down for. She's like, no.
Must be nice.
But you see, like, I'm making that assumption that someone is needing this space and grace. And it's like, no, you need that space and grace. She's fine. And even if you thought that, why not ask? Like, hey, is this too much for you? You create a safe environment for people to share. Like, oh, girl, it would be a lot. You're taking on this burden without asking someone if, you know, if they're even capable of sharing it with you. So that's because I honestly don't think I could do it the best. I'm always just thinking that I don't want to put additional work on folks, even though they work here.
Oh, my bad. I was just projecting my own control freak tendencies upon you, which is why we didn't have an editor for the show until a pandemic and a baby. That was when I let my cold, dead hands off the editing knob.
No, I have honestly like just like the most amazing team. But it's just because I just like I told you before. Remember we had that Our Rich Journey, that couple that came on?
Yes. Christina and Ahmad.
Yes. And Ahmad, that sense of joy they had, I was like, I want that. Like, they just seem, and not because, oh, they just seem in such a good space. Like, they weren't doing more than was necessary to live this life that they've created for themselves intentionally. Mm. And so that's what I was like, okay. And so, like, you know, sometimes we overdo it. Like, do you need to work the extra two or will the one do? Then, well, why are you working the two if the one will get you the sunshine? Mm. Why work the extra two if the one will get you the beach? You know, like, well, maybe two will get me double beach. No, the law of diminishing return says the two will actually get you back to the office, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah. So these are things, like, you know, I like to share this stuff with you guys because I like, because especially in entrepreneurship, I feel like people are more honest about not liking a job or struggling in corporate. But I see so much that entrepreneurship is put on such a pedestal. And not enough people are honest about how hard sometimes it can be to adjust and how sometimes things are amazing and you're feeling great and other times you're not. I just think that I want more people to be honest that, like, you know, that you can be externally successful and really be struggling. Because so many of my friends that are entrepreneurs, I mean, I was echoing sentiments that so many people that I know echo. And I like being vulnerable because that also means that people pour into me. And you're right, Mandy. I got a lot of really amazing messages that had me rethink, like, well, maybe I'll try this and maybe I'll try that. I'm always open to learning because a really good teacher is an even better student. And so I don't have ego about correction and learning and doing things better. So I'm always appreciative when you guys reach out and share some of your like feedback with me. So thank y'all for that.
Ugh, I wish more people were like that. You've got to, yeah. But you're, you know, Tiffany, you and the other people I know who are launching their businesses and everything, you're the reason why when a good friend of mine, it was back in pre-COVID times, asked to come and visit me at the office to talk about the business that he had launched. And he walked right in. I saw the bags under his eyes. And I was like, do you want to just sit in this dark conference room for like 20 minutes and just collect or take a nap or something? And he was like, God, yes. And he went into that room and just took some time for himself. And I was like, okay, all right. Even though he's doing amazing, the business is going great. And it's like you said, like when things are going the best, that is when the gas is empty and you're just like really digging deep and, you know, you need that extra support. So I hope you get it. I know Team Unicorn wants to be there for you. And if, you know, if there's ever anything we can do here over here at Brown Ambition Inc., you just let me know. Let me know what we could do to accommodate you. But I'm getting you out of here because we have like 20 seconds and you have to go. All right?
I do.
Good luck.
Thank y'all for listening. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
Subscribe. Please, yes. Subscribe and leave a review. I want to shot up those charts. The EYL boys, they're great, but like, we was here first. So let us get up on it. Let's get up there. There's room at the top. We could be number one and two. Yes. I'm just saying. Okay. All right. Bye, y'all. Bye, Tim.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.